Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another. Stacked them stones, one on another. Stacked them stones for you and me, for the Jubilee.
Well, good evening. It's Thursday, and it is a beautiful Thursday here, and I'm Pastor Jason Cooley with the Old Paths broadcast here, and Pastor Brandon will be along later on in the program here. Got some good stuff for you here coming up, and just some things that have been going on in our world today. Not only that, and just, you know, this part two of this, what we've been talking about, the mark of the beast and the preparation, you know, just the prep of the mark of the beast. And Brother Nate's gonna come on. He's gonna tell us about the New Age Bible versions and some of their teachings on the mark of the beast. And it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about that. And you know, we'll keep looking to see when he's gonna be on there for that and get back to that definitely. But hey, the weather's not been too bad here. We did have snow yesterday, I think it was, or Monday. I can't remember which day it was. Wednesday or yesterday, and we had some snow, and it got a little cold, and it dropped the temperature just a little bit, and not reminding us of warm spring weather or anything like that, which is unfortunate, but it is the way that it is. So we thank the Lord that it's not below zero weather like we were having, and we're actually seeing, you know, some warm up here and still a little chilly, but praise the Lord for what we have. And anyway, so it's been an interesting week this week and looking at everything and looking just what's going on in our world. It's just, I mean, man, it just seems to get, you know, you couldn't make this stuff up. You couldn't make this stuff up if you were writing a sci-fi script. What's going on right now? Brother Lonnie, if you could put Brother Nate on when he's ready, if you got him there, bring him over here. Will you? I want to kind of get his input here on this a little bit. You there, Brother Nate?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Did you get any sleep, or do you stay up all day, or what?
I got back like almost 12. I slept basically till 7, so
so you did get
I'm pretty fresh
then.
Right now.
You got more sleep than me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Brother Lonnie, what time is it, Brother Lonnie?
Wake up!
One more time. I think Nate's sleeping. One more time.
Wake up!
There we go. You wake now, Brother Nate?
Yes. Wow.
You like that?
Yep.
We got to be different here. You know that, don't you?
That's right.
We're a little strange. I was reading last night in the Bible when I was preaching last night and talking about that peculiar people. Amen?
Amen.
The things that get Christians excited, God's people that are sold out for Him, the things that get us excited are vastly different than the things that gets the world excited. And it ought to be
Amen.
That way. Amen?
That's right.
But, you know, I was thinking about some of this stuff. And I'm looking here, and you know, I was just even looking at the Drudge Report, which I don't think the Drudge Report is really that good. There's other news sources out there, but it's not bad. I mean, it gives you a little bit of flavor of everything, kind of. But it leaves off some of the, you know, I think Drudge used to give more information out. I think he gives less credible information out now, but I don't know. I could be wrong, but anyway, needless to say, it's there. But if you're looking at all this stuff, now, we have this, I seen this, this drone, right? This drone.
Yeah,
that
you
can
see the drone that can hack into your phone?
Yeah, what's up with that? What's up
with
basically the drone?
They can,
go ahead.
They've already tested them that they can fly over your house. And what it does is if your computer is searching for Wi-Fi networks that it usually connects to, the drone can mimic Wi-Fi networks that you connect to. So your phone thinks that it's connecting to a Wi-Fi network, but it's connected to the drone. And then all the information you send through when you're online, the drone can collect everything, including credit card information, passwords, and everything you can think of. So.
Well, now let me say something to you here, guys. I hope you're listening out there. I hope you are awake. I hope you realize what he's saying there, what this is saying. I mean, this is not – now, listen, this is not a sci-fi script. You understand that, right? This is not something that what was his name that wrote 1984 or whatever? What was his name? I don't remember his name, but anyway, I didn't –
George Orwell?
Yeah, that guy. This isn't his script, right? Although some people say that was a script for the New World Order. Anyway.
Yeah, it seems like they're following it.
Yeah, it seems like they're following it. They go, like, hey, that was supposed to be a warning. It wasn't supposed to be a blueprint.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually a blueprint. Sadly, I really think that these people are occultic, and they do leave their messages like that and say, well, hey, listen, this is actually real. What's really going to happen?
Oh, absolutely. Aldous Huxley did the same thing with Brave New World.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. So now this isn't – listen, guys, this isn't fake. This is real. This drone can go over your smart device, and it can – whatever it is, an iPad, iPhone, whatever it is, computer, whatever it is, and it can snatch and steal all your information from you. We no longer have privacy.
Nope.
You know, we no longer have it. We're not allowed to have it anymore. And people, I get a kick out of people because they're like, well, you know what? Before I forget, I got to say something here. Before I forget, would you please all pray for Pastor James Beller? Pastor James Beller is in the hospital right now, and he has spiral meningitis. He also has a terrible diabetes, but he also has a failure of his kidney. And he needs a transplant, and I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't look good. I've got reports from you know his inner group of friends there and loved ones, and it doesn't look good. So please pray for him and pray for the family at this time, because it is sad, and it's. You know, this man is a good man. If you've never read his book, American Crimson Red or Sacred Betrayal, every person, I don't care if you're a Baptist or not, but Sacred Betrayal is a book that was written about basically what happened to churches and how we've been betrayed and Baptists have been sold a bill of goods by the fundamentalist movement and interdenominational activity, how we were just basically sold a bill of goods and we bought them hook, line, and sinker, and it turned into disaster. But anyway, so please pray for him. He's a good man, and you know, he's influenced and impacted my life greatly. God has used that man in my life, and that American Crimson Red, among other things, was a inspiration for me to, you know, number one, see from, I always knew from the scriptures what was correct and what was right from there, but I didn't see that example in churches, you know, but then I looked back on, and it started studying, and it gave me an encouragement to study history, so I went back into history, and I started studying Baptist history more. And lo and behold, I found out that this whole bubble of fundamentalism was not true. It was a big phony, fraud, fictitious thing, this fundamentalist movement. Anyway, I don't have time to get into that, but that's but if you'll study his works or you'll look for his works, you know, you will see what God has done in his life and through his ministry. And let's just pray the Lord's will in that. But anyway, so please remember that. Pastor James Beller from Arnold Baptist Tabernacle in Arnold, Missouri. Okay, but moving along to this here, back to this, we see now that our information, everything that we have, is basically being stolen. That you're not, there's no right to privacy any longer. And basically, what we're being told is that, you know, what do you have to hide? Well, a lot. I have a lot to hide. Don't you, Nate?
I stand on the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, I do too. And I have stuff to hide. I wear clothes because I'm trying to hide something.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? My wife and my daughters and my children, they dress modestly. Why? Because they're trying to hide something.
In reality, see, I remember talking about this stuff years ago, and my parents thought I was a nut job. I was like, they're tapping the phones, blah, blah, blah. I knew about the NSA program and stuff because of researching things, and that when they passed the Patriot Act, which was well before Obama, everybody thinks this stuff started when Obama came into office or something, but it's been going on for a while. Anyways, you tell them, like, yeah, they're tapping the phones, and they're like, well, who cares? What do you have to hide? You know, if you're not a terrorist, then who cares? But the reality is, the reason that they're gathering all this information is for, I believe, for more nefarious purposes, and targeting people and their belief systems and stuff like that, so...
You know, it's sad, but we no longer. I mean, everybody thinks, "Oh, that's kooky." You know, they're not doing that. They're not. You know, they're really not going to do that. You know, they're this. No, it's not that they're going to do it. They're already doing it.
That's right.
You know, you
got another invasion of privacy. The article I just sent you, it's a more surveillance state type of story.
New York trains to install audio and video recorders, huh?
Yeah. Wow. So now everywhere you go, you're going to be monitored.
I mean, this is Orwellian. This,
100%.
More importantly, it's Revelation 13. It's the beast knowing everything about you and needing to know everything about you. Listen, I heard Mike Hoggard say this, Pastor Mike Hoggard say this, and I agree with him. When he said that the Antichrist needs this system. He needs this system.
Absolutely.
The coming Antichrist needs it because he's not omnipresent. He's not God. He's not all-knowing. So he needs system like this. I mean, what do you think this system is really being set up for? Just for let me think about it. What is monitoring trains? What is having drones that steal all your information? What is having things in computers that turn them on and cameras and everything? What does any of that have to do? What does any of that have to do with Muslim guys in a cave somewhere that were supposedly took their remote controls and dropped two buildings? It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. It's a bunch of hooey is what it is. All of it is a bunch of garbage. It's what? It's leading up to a one world government. That's what it's leading up to. I mean, we're already there. The shadow of it is there now. I want you to understand that. The shadow of this government, be it Republican, Democrat, whatever, the shadow of a one-world government is already in place. Just got to have a few little buttons to be pushed, and that's about it. It's already there. Sadly, it is. you know. But anyway, this is the day and age we live in. I see this other one, New York trains to install, pro-abortion group rebuffs criticism over coat hanger pendant. What was the coat hanger pendant
about? Yeah, look at the picture. They're wearing coat hangers.
That's very disgusting. That's basically to make a point about
back alley abortions.
Back alley abortions, yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to do something here soon. I want to preach a message pretty soon on the occultic background of abortion, of the abortion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Margaret Sanger was wicked.
Yeah, she was devilish. And I really would like to do something on that in the future, because I think it's necessary for people to understand that all that is just nothing but a satanic conspiracy. That's what it all was about.
Yep.
And sad enough that, did you hear the Vatican Library plans to digitize 82,000 of its most valuable manuscripts? Wow.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do all of them.
No, I think they're going to leave a few out, don't you?
Absolutely.
I wonder.
Especially the history of, the detailed history of their murder of millions of Christians.
Yeah, that'll be left out. You know, I often wonder, though, what exactly the Vatican has for manuscripts. I don't mean biblical. I'm not talking about even Bible manuscripts or anything like that. But I mean, I wonder what they have for other books of history, you know, on things like the giants and things like that.
Oh, I think they got... Yeah, I think they got books on all that stuff.
I mean, I really believe that, too. I believe they have a lot of stuff that we have no idea about whatsoever. No idea.
It was in the news, mainstream news, that they had the largest collection of pornography in the world.
That's disgusting.
Yep.
Well, I mean...
And I believe they have the oldest and most rare books on the occult, the old grimoires, too.
I don't know what that is.
Grimoire. It's like it's just a book on the occult. It's really, it's like very rare book, pretty evil. So.
That's true. Brother Russ said most software online is collecting metadata on you and sending the central database. Google, Yahoo, etc. could not operate unless they did that. That's probably true, isn't it? I can believe that. They record and send all the data. Could not operate unless you play with the government. Isn't that the case with Google? Don't they work with the government? I mean, we know that from past stuff that Google does nothing but work with the government. They put backdoors. I've heard they put backdoors in their software so the government can get in there anyway and get whatever they want from us.
Oh, absolutely. So did Microsoft and the other companies.
Sad, isn't it? Well, this is the way it is. Now, how about Russia? Have you seen where Russia is not... Russia is doubling down on what they're saying, and they don't want to give it up. And we've got people over here today that are saying, there has been... Oh, I don't know. They put the sanctions on Russia, so Russia just put sanctions on John Kerry and a bunch of other people, I guess, John Boehner and all those folks, and put sanctions on them now. They can't come to Russia and all
it's
that.
A joke.
Yeah, it is a joke.
A big joke to show.
It's all a game on both sides, isn't it?
Yep.
So what do you think the end game is? What do you think the goal is? What are they doing it for?
Right now, I don't know, but I know the goal is World War III eventually.
Yeah, that's the eventual goal. We understand that. And it's going to come. Make no mistake about it. The Bible even says it's going to come, that we're going to see this in the end times, that all these things must come to pass. Yep. All these things. So we're all these wars and rumors of wars and all these things that are coming ahead of us. How about Facebook facial verification software reaching human abilities? Wow.
Yeah, I saw that story. That's crazy.
Deep face reaching human abilities. Well, now, that's rather strange, isn't it? If you were asked whether two unfamiliar photos of faces show the same person, a human being will get it right 97.53% of the time. The software Facebook has developed will score a 97.25% on the same challenge, regardless of a person facing right at a camera or it being a profile shot. This facial learning software that Facebook calls DeepFace. Man, I wonder if that's got to mean something, too. DeepFace uses a 3D model to rotate faces and learn patterns. Wow.
That just ties into what we were talking about earlier, about the fact that Satan's not omnipresent and he's not omnipotent either. He, the all-seeing eye on the top of the pyramid, he can't be that unless he has all this technology to replicate what God does.
That's right. So there is no way that he could possibly do that unless he has a program like that, unless he can use technology. You know, unless he can do that, then he can't do the same things that that can be done by God. So these programs are very popular.
Imagine you got this database and you got facial recognition technology in there and you have information, everything you can know about everyone on planet Earth. And then you could fuse that nanotechnology into a human being like the Antichrist so that when he walks down the street and he looks at you, he can instantly, this technology recognizes everything about you, and he can talk to you and pretend to know everything about you like God, but in reality it's just a technology.
Wow. Incredible. See, it'll be used to be... it'll be godlike.
Yep.
And that's the whole point.
So that's what I think. I think all this technology, all this data is being collected from everyone on the planet to upload this into a single database that the Antichrist can access through some kind of technology in his brain so that he can know everything about everyone as much as possible.
Yeah. And, it's working.
Right.
It's working leaps and bounds. And
he's going to say that he's God, and people are going to worship him.
And why wouldn't they? Because they're going to believe what? They're going to believe that he has all this power, and there must be a reason. He must be God because he has all this power, who exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped.
And then you combine all the supernatural signs and wonders and familiar spirits and stuff, so...
And the fact that strong delusion is sent.
If you're not saved, you don't stand a chance.
Yeah. Scary stuff, man. Scary stuff. But anyway, so as we see this, how about California's DNA collection law upheld? To the dismay of civil liberty advocates, a federal appeals court on Thursday unanimously upheld a California law allowing collection of DNA samples from anyone arrested on a felony, citing a U.S. Supreme Court ruling last year backing a similar Maryland law. Well, let me ask you something. What do they want everybody's DNA for? What's the purpose?
Sons of God, daughters of men.
That's right.
Stop right there.
There you go. They want to use it, don't they? That's exactly what they want to. They're not taking and collecting this DNA because they're just going to let it lie. And, oh, we just want to make sure you're not a hardened criminal or we know where to track you. And that's a bunch of malarkey, and you know it. There has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with they want to do something with it. They want to do something with it. That's their goal. That's their plan. And we're seeing these things happening right in front of our eyes. I mean, who would have thought 25 years ago that some little flying spaceship would have came over you called a drone and it would suck out all your information from you?
Sounds like the Jetsons or something.
Well, imagine if the Jason Cooley from 1990 a DeLorean into the future and came into the future, and then all of a sudden here he sees this flying thing coming over, and all of a sudden these people got all these phones, and now I get all your information. You know what it my sins come up before me and remind me. But of the Hollywood that I used to watch and everything that I used to watch. But I remember in that Back to the Future episode, I think it was part two, I remember that. I remember him making a transaction online through that video. And I remember this Asian guy coming on and going, McFly! And he yelled at him, and he said, we monitored your transaction, we know what you did, and you're terminated. You're fired. Right. What did they do? He stuck this little credit card-like thing into a slot, scanned it, and they knew about it, and monitored it, and fired him. Well, that's what's happening right now. You know, I would submit to you.
All these movies are coming true.
Right, but I would submit to you that was the plan all along, to show you these things.
Absolutely.
Hollywood is completely occultic.
The thing that stinks, too, is that why do we get all the bad stuff, all the bad technology from these movies, and we don't get any of the cool stuff like the hovering skateboard?
Yeah. Like a hoverboard. That would be something that I would like to have. Or the Mad Dog hoverboard that had the turbo in it. That was even better. You can keep it. I got a Mad Dog. Remember that? Anyway.
Yeah.
But there was Brother Tino told me that. He said there were so many occultic things in Back to the Future. I didn't know. I didn't know any of that stuff back then. You know, when I was watching all that stuff, I didn't know. And But he said there were so many occultic messages in that movie. Just unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
But didn't even know it. But all right. Well, listen. We it looks like we got to take a break here. We need Revival by the Seminole String Band. We'll be right back in a few minutes on the Old Paths broadcast.
There was a time when the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way. There was a time when the people of God lived in a godly way. Something's wrong. It's time to turn around. Something's wrong.
To take
the Old Paths broadcast, and I've got Brother Nate here, and I've also got Pastor Brandon Teague here. He's just chilling on his back porch right now.
Absolutely.
It's as close to you could come as to Mayberry, if of what Pastor Brandon is doing right now there in Texas on his back porch. And all he needs is the whistling in the background. And
absolutely.
Little Opie walking by with the little fishing pole, and he'd be just about. He's Mayberry like you wouldn't believe. All right.
No, we're way more country than Mayberry ever thought about being. Yeah, there's not even a store down here. So
I got pulled over by a cop right outside of there when I was leaving your house. You remember that, brother?
I do. You and Brother Finney and a little Prius coming up.
Me and old brother Skinny Finney. We were coming out
of our farm to market road in a black Prius at about 11:30 tonight. You looked about as out of place
It wasn't 11:30 at night. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning when I left there.
Well, that's true. So
it was like 1 a.m. and I took off there and I could not figure out how to drive that Prius. I'm like, how do you drive this thing?
That sheriff's deputy took a look at y'all and knew y'all were out of place. See, that's what happened.
I'm telling you, brother, he looked at me like three times, and he goes, I saw you over there juking and jiving. You was just juking and jiving. I saw you. I was wondering, now, why is this boy juking and jiving? He pulled me in.
I'm surprised. Hey, let me ask you a question. Did he ask to see you driving live?
He did. No, you know what? Let me tell you. I got to tell this real quick. This is funny, okay? I've never told this on here. So here's me and Brother Finney, right? And we're driving down the road at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I can't figure out like where to stick my finger in this car to get it to start and get it to drive, because it's like, I mean, it's one of them battery-operated Priuses. So
you wind it up before you drive it.
Yeah, you wind it up, and I didn't wind it up. And I'm like, Brother Finney, I cannot figure this thing out. All of a sudden, this cop pulls us over, right? So he goes, good evening, what you all doing out here? I was like, oh, we're just heading to the airport, getting out of here. Where are you from? I'm from Minnesota. Where are you from? No, I didn't say that. But I'm from Minnesota. Brother Finney goes, I'm from Texas. He goes, and that guy, he goes, well, I saw you juking and jiving. You was trying to get away from me. He's trying to figure out, why is this boy trying to get away from me at 1 o'clock in the morning? I was like, I wouldn't try to get away from you. I can't figure out how to drive this stupid car. And he goes, and so then he looks down, and Brother Finney's got all these supplements, right? And they look like drugs. They just look like straight.
He looked like a Herbalife dealer over there.
He does, and they look like drugs. And they pull us, and this cop pulls us over. He looks at us. He goes, "What y'all got in that bottle over there?" I was like, "Man, we got a bottle of crack here." No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. It's like, I mean, because that's what he was thinking in his mind. He thought we were like drugs. That's what he thought. You know, and I'm like,
"Why you were juking and jabbing?"
Yeah, that's why you was juking and jiving. You had some drugs in there, don't you, boy? And I said, no, you can look at it. And he took it out, and Brother Finney goes, well, that's my herb for this, and that's for that. And he goes, oh, I take all that stuff. He goes, let me see your drive on. I said, all right. So I showed him that. Well, what was really funny is that we're out in the middle of nowhere here, right? Nobody knows us. You know, we're besides you, brother, and I was like, I don't even know if
right.
knowing what Brother Brandon was in his past, I don't know if I want to tell this guy I know Brother Brandon or not. Like, maybe I should tell him that. No, you know what I said to him? I said, hey, I'm just a preacher. I was here preaching tonight. I preached at the church here. He goes, well, preachers do wrong things too. Yeah, they sure do. He would not let me go. Preachers do bad things too. I was like, okay, I gotta. Brother Finney's like, okay, just tell him. He goes, so Brother Finney just showed him, and you know, and he's like, okay. I said, well, I ain't driving no more. He goes, well, you don't have to get out of the car. You can stay driving. I was like, no, I don't want to die. He goes, no, come on, it's okay. You don't have to do that. I was like, no, I don't want to drive now. He's like, anyway, I'm sorry. It was funny. funny because here's this guy. He really thought I was trying to get away from him. And old brother Finney's getting excited. He goes, what's he pulling us over for anyway? We didn't do anything wrong. At least I had my
wife
with me.
Yeah, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong car.
You ain't a kidding, brother.
But that's the rest and then that mud flaps on it. That's what the problem was. That's what tipped them off.
Oh man, they said Prius. They said ain't nobody in Texas drive a Prius. Where'd this thing come from?
not around here.
Oh, brother Finney's on.
Hey, you'll find a lot more. You'll find a lot more John Deere than you will Prius around here.
Hey, brother Finney, are you there? Are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, brother Finney, I was telling on us.
I've heard it. But you left out one thing.
What's that?
You didn't tell them about what we were transporting.
Yeah, that's just it. That's it. I mean, we had like an AK-47 in the trunk. And I'm like, okay, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. The guy thinks I'm jizzing and jiving away from him. He thinks we got a bottle of pills, and I got an AK-47 in the trunk. And I'm just driving around the middle of Texas. This is not good.
Hey, and I wasn't even thinking about that. And then Pastor Jason afterwards said, why do you think I was being so nice?
Exactly. He didn't know. See,
he didn't put it in those words, but.
I had that gun back there, and I'm like, you know, I really don't know how to. What am I going to say to this guy if he goes, I want to see you in your car? What was I going to say to that guy? You juking and jobbing for a reason. Open that trunk up, boy.
Hey, I just tell him, look, sir, I'm a lawyer. We're not. You had no probable cause to believe a crime has been committed, so you don't have. You cannot enter that trunk without our consent. Do you think that would have worked?
No, I think we'd have been in jail that night. That's what I think would have happened.
Hey, we would have won in the long run. We might have just been inconvenienced.
Yeah.
I tell you what would have happened. I'd have got a phone call in the middle of the night. What would have happened?
You better believe you would have. Anyway, it was funny, though. I'll never forget that, man. I could not believe that. I was shocked that we got out of there without him looking in that trunk, and I'm like, man, I was just shocked.
Hey, listen, the law in Texas is very clear. You've got a right to carry a weapon with you if you're traveling.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, we weren't breaking any laws, so, you know. But
no, but you'd have freaked him out, though. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. We had a shotgun. What was that?
AR-15.
No, it was an AK-47, yeah.
Okay. And 2.22s.
We were loaded in that tree.
we came in possession of those things innocently.
Yeah.
Right, and we were target practicing that weekend.
We were, that's right. I remember that.
I won't, you know, implicate anybody else, but it wasn't even our fault that we had them. It was just our good fortune.
That's right. That's right. We won't mention any names, but that was a great blessing, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
So anyway, but I thought that was funny. I thought about that because I thought about every time you talk about over there, and we think about how quiet it is out there where you live and everything, and then I keep in my mind I picture this black Prius and me and brother Finney driving down a dark road and me making the wrong turn on you're on the wrong side of the road, buddy.
Hey, I just bring up that we broke absolutely no laws. I can understand the officer's concern. We broke no laws, so you folks out there that misinterpret Romans 13 don't think that we were doing anything contrary to our government's laws.
That's right. That's right. We weren't. That's absolutely correct.
You can drive with all the herbal supplements and weapons in the back that you want.
Yeah, I had those in a prescription bottle, you.
I knew we were in trouble when he saw the prescription bottle. I'm like, oh, it's done.
Well, most criminals that I've dealt with that get caught with something in their bottles don't have a... That one I had removed all the labels, you know. A lot of times they haven't removed the labels, so maybe that... Who knows? Maybe he had... Like he said, he did the same thing. He took all those things and probably put them in one of those bottles himself.
Yeah, that's true, brother. Oh, that was funny.
Well, I'll let y'all go. I just thought I'd add that little bit in.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that, Brother Finney, so I didn't bring it up. I was like, I don't know if he wants me to say it, but so I didn't bring it up.
Well, I thought that might be your motive, so I was just letting you know that, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with talking about it. We didn't do anything illegal.
No, we sure didn't, but boy, we sure had a lot of fun.
Yeah, just had a good time, huh?
After it was over, it was fun looking back on it.
It was funny to laugh.
We had my little 5 foot tall mama out there shooting AK-47. That was a blast.
Yeah, that was a blessing. How old was your mom at the time?
She'd probably rather me not say, brother.
Well, she's at least as old or close to as old as I am, and I'm 67. I guess I was 66 then.
Yep, she cowgirled on up. She sure did.
She sure did.
I forgot. Ladies don't like to talk about those kind of things. So,
no, well, she's probably not listed right now. So we're safe. I don't know if anybody else is listed. I don't know if anybody else is listed for you.
Hey, Nate, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are we losing you, Nate? Nate's like, I didn't call up for this. What's going on?
Hey, I'm here. Back to business, okay?
Sounds good,
Brother. Hey, God bless you, Brother Finney. Good
God
brother.
Bless y'all. Bye.
Yep, bye-bye. That was Brother Finney, Brother Gerald Finney. Hey, you can visit his website at geraldfinney.wordpress.com to find out all about 501c3 issues. To find out about, getting your church organized right, constitutional issues and things like that, biblical constitutional issues and things like that, First Amendment right of free speech and things of that nature. Also, he's got just a great, all of his resources and his books are online there. They're all free.
Right.
You can download all of them free, and they're a blessing. Read them, study them. And praise the Lord for all his charity that he has towards the brethren. He wants to help others. That's a blessing.
Absolutely. He helped me this week, and I sure appreciate Brother Finney. He is. I'll give him a glowing endorsement. Anybody out there who may be thinking about using his services, you will not be disappointed.
Amen. All right, brother. Well, listen, hey, we're going to start talking about this Mark of the Beast, but Nate had something. Unless there was something else, Brother Brandon, you wanted to touch in the news or something. I don't want to cut anything off.
No, nothing I can think of this week. I've been pretty busy all week long, so I'm trusting y'all just to take care of the news for us tonight.
All right, well, good. Well, listen, okay, Brother Nate, are you ready with that information that we just talked about as far as the Mark of the Beast? And you were talking to me about the New Age Bible versions and some of the changes that they've made and things like that in the new modern perversions. And I want you to go ahead and talk about that if you're ready. That'd be great.
Sure, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, you go ahead.
All right. Okay. So started studying this a little bit ago when you started talking about the subject of the world being prepared for the Mark of the Beast. I was like, you know, I bet the modern versions have changed quite a bit. I knew they had made a couple changes, but when I started to study it, I saw that they had made more changes than I thought. And what I found was pretty interesting, and I found at least 6 changes or footnotes that they've added in modern versions, which all push a certain deception regarding the Mark of the Beast. So if everyone got you a King James Bible out and you turn to Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, let's read the original so everyone's on the same page. Verse 16 says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." All right, so this is pretty interesting. I'll go through the changes one at a time.
Okay.
first thing the modern versions do is they change causeth to force, making the mark of the beast something that is not willingly taken. I believe you taught this before, that the mark of the beast is something that's willingly taken by someone who worships the beast. It's not something
that's right.
forced on you. No one's going to put a gun to your head and say, take the mark of the beast, you're going to die.
Yeah,
well,
gonna
be proud to wear it.
That's right, brother. That's
What's
right,
that?
Brandon. He said they're going to be proud to wear it.
They're going to be proud for it.
Sorry, what was that?
I said they're going to be proud to wear that mark. They'll be.
Oh yeah, amen.
Mark.
Right, exactly. So, check this out. In the NIV, in verse 16, instead of "and he causeth all," it says "it also forced all people." So it changes the word causeth to forced. In the Message Bible, it says it forced all people. You know, and I'm just going to use the NIV and the Message because they're two very popular versions. I know the Message is a paraphrase, but it's actually sold millions of copies. So, anyways, so you got the force right there. That's one agenda. Let's look at the next change. Modern versions change references to the beast, referring to the beast as he or his, to it and its, to make room for the interpretation that the two beasts are not people. I think this is significant because I've heard other Christians say, oh, the beast is not a person, the Antichrist is not a person, it's kingdom. Or the, and I know that beast is can be referred to as a kingdom in the Bible, it talks about that, but clearly when it talks about the mark of the beast, it says it is a number, count the number of the beast for it's a number of a man. And we know that the Bible talks about the Antichrist being the man of sin and the son of perdition. But in the NIV, I'm sorry, in the King James, it says in verse 16, and he causeth, so it refers to him as he. And then in verse 17, it says, say that he that had the mark, the number of the beast, or the number of his name. So it says he and his. But in the NIV, it says it also forced all people. It changes he to it, and then which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. And the Message does the same thing. It says number of its name, and it forced all people. So changing he and his to it. I think that's pretty significant as well.
Amen.
And then the third change is modern versions. I'm sure you guys have probably heard this change before. Modern versions change the word in to on, in reference to the mark of the beast. When it says to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that's what the King James says. But in the NIV, it says on their right hands or on their foreheads. Same thing in the Message Bible. It says without the mark of the name of the beast, to have a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. So these modern versions are pushing that too. And, you know, we believe that it could also, the mark of the beast could definitely... most likely will be tied together with a microchip of some sort, whether it's a nano technology biochip or something. They're probably going to put it under your skin, in it. So that's another agenda. One other interesting agenda, I've never heard anyone talk about this. The King James makes a distinction between the mark or the number or the name of the beast, while the modern versions say the mark is the name or number. Now, let me read what I'm talking about. In the King James, it says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. In the modern versions, in the NIV, it says, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Same thing in the Message. It says, without the mark of the name of the beast or the number of its name, it was impossible to buy or sell anything. So, yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. They're saying there's the name of the beast and there's the number, but that's what the mark is. They're not saying that there's a separate, distinct mark, which, you know, we've speculated about the hexagram and these types of things, but I think that's they're trying to hide something there. One other thing I'll talk about, which is pretty interesting, is they try to change the number of the beast, actually, too. Modern versions speculate that instead of the number of the beast being 666, Oh, well, actually, here's two different agendas. First of all, the modern version speculated that instead of the number of the B666 being the number of a man, that it is actually the number of humanity, or of man in general, not the number of a man. Because in the King James Bible, it says, let him that hath wisdom count the number of the beast, 600, 366, because it's the number of a man. The modern version says, in the NIV, it'll even say, for it is the number of a man, but it has a footnote. And you love how the modern versions always have the footnote, which is Satan's, yea, hath God said, right? So you go down to the footnote, and it says, or humanity's number, or the number of man in general. And then another interesting speculation is in the New American Standard, and I think the New Living Translation, when instead of where it says the number 666, it has a footnote that says one early manuscript reads 616. And NLT says some manuscripts read 616. So they're actually, now they're trying to, some of these versions are trying to even change the number of the beast from 666 to 616.
Wow.
So, if you guys want, tell me what you think about that, because those are some of the things that I found that are pretty interesting.
You know, it's absolutely remarkable that as what we have seen here, that, you know, these New Age Bible versions, people don't really understand that they are preaching. I showed that the other day in a sermon on when I preached on Lucifer, the light of the mystery religions or the esoteric religions or whatever. And basically the light of the occult is Lucifer. And one of the things that I covered was the NIV Bible. And the NIV version of garbage that it is. But the NIV has in it a section that talks, or it uses Jesus Christ as the, basically, like it calls Lucifer the same as Jesus and Jesus the same as Lucifer. If you understand anything about the New Age, that is exactly what they do in the occult. The esoteric religions all do that. There is the Christ or the Christ spirit or what do they call it? The ascended masters, Nate, I can't think of what they call them or how they really say it.
Yep.
Is it the Christ? Is that how they say it?
Yes, the Christ.
Yeah, and the Ascended Masters, and they've got this. And don't they have like three or four different versions? Have you guys heard? Isn't it like three or four different versions of like the Jesus spirit or something like that? It's weird. It's really strange.
Yeah, a lot of times they call him Master Jesus. In the Message Bible, Jesus is referred to as Master Jesus numerous times, but not as Lord Jesus or Lord Jesus Christ. They take that out.
Yeah, well, they're them and a lot of fundamentalists that maybe they keep it in there, but they don't recognize him as the lordship of Jesus. And I happen to believe that when you say things like that, that you're following New Age principles and not the scriptures. But anyway, mm-hmm. that's because I'm mean and people don't like it when I say things like that. But we have to listen. We have to be on a watch right now, spiritually. And be looking at these things because, let's face it, Pastor Brandon, Brother Nate, we understand that this world is being prepared for the Antichrist. The mark of they're being prepped to receive this mark of the beast. It's all out there.
Right. And, you know, I mean, you drive around your city wherever you're at, you see things. You look at how people dress. You look at the slogans that they wear. You look at what society puts out there, what it's all about at this moment, what trends are out there. This world is ready. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I can see, you know, the music of the day points to the Illuminati, the New World Order. It's almost like a hymn book for the New World Order at the moment. So, you know, with all the movies that have come out lately and getting this mentality of being herded into camps and things of that nature with the Hunger Games and all that stuff, you know, with all the executive orders that are being handed down, with, you know, the power grab in Washington. I mean, the world, it's falling into place. It's happening. I mean, as my daddy used to say, Ray Charles could see that.
Mm. Wow. That's profound. You know, and I know we've got to take a break here in a few minutes, Brother Lonnie, let me know here. But we're going to talk about, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the RFID chips, the implants. I'm going to read you an article about that. We're going to talk about actually just the how these people think it's really cool to do this. And then I also have an article here, and I hope I didn't lose. There it is right there, about Google and how we're being prepared for the mark of the beast through Google. The world is, that is, not Christians, but the world is being prepared for it. As we see this Google head engineer, founder here of Google, one of the head engineering in the head engineering department of Google, you know, he's going to talk about uploading your brain to the internet. And, you know, and then I thought about also the other thing that I've seen is this rise. And I don't, Brother Nate, if you can find an article on it, it might have said that in there. I can't remember. I haven't read this article for a few weeks. But I also remember that the rise of the Android body that's being talked about. You know, the ability to be able to take a body. This new Android, what do they call it? They call it something else too, Brother Brandon. Do you remember what the other word is for it? They've got
cyborg.
You know, well, cyborg. Pretty much. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. You know, as when we were kids, we seen a show called The $6 Million Man.
Bionic. You
know? And yeah, the Bionic Man. And remember that? And man, that funny music would come on, and he'd jump over buildings. Yeah, that. Pastor Brandon does that when he just walks in the other room. He makes that noise. Don't you find it fascinating that it's the $6 Million Man, number six? Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, Oscar Goldman. I think there's a Zionist conspiracy behind that, too.
I'm sure there is.
That was his boss. You don't think that guy was, you know, I don't want to say now anti-Semitic tonight. I'm not trying to make a rude joke. I'm just simply saying there was something in that name.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, what's funny is that someday we're going to talk about extensively the Jesuits, and Nate, that's one of your favorite topics, isn't it?
I don't know anything about that.
Nate's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Is this being recorded?
That's pretty funny, Nate. That's pretty funny.
Is this being recorded?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Who are you guys, and how did I get on this program?
Yeah, how'd you get my number?
Did you call me? Anyway, you can find that sermon that I preached on this topic, though, on the world being prepared for the mark of the beast at sermonaudio.com on our sermon audio page. Brother Lonnie might be able to find that for you there. But that's, you know, it's something to study and to understand. And we're going to continue on with this here tonight as soon as we come back. And I believe we're getting ready for a break here in just a couple minutes here, if not a minute, Brother Brandon. But, boy, I'll tell you, when we see what's going on in the world, isn't it pretty shocking?
It is. It absolutely is. I'll tell you, it frightens you from the standpoint of being a parent. And,
yeah.
You know, I think, you know, if we have any lady listeners, I don't know that we do, especially tonight, we're kind of in a cutting up mood, but I do know that, you know, that wives tend to look at these issues and sometimes not really want to pay attention because of, you know, the burden that it puts on them of their children having to go through these kind of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, God knows about all that. And I want to reassure you tonight that God knows. And, you know, he takes care of his children. And
amen. He's not surprised.
Right. Amen. Yeah. God's never went whoops or uh-oh. If he did, we'd all disappear. But I'm thankful tonight that he knew about us. He had all this planned out all along.
Amen.
And so,
listen, brother, we got to go to a break here, I guess. We're coming up on it. A Few Good Men by the Seminole String Band.
Amen.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Willing man of God who dares to
Man here on the Old Paths broadcast, Brother Brandon Teague, alongside Pastor Jason Cooley and our good friend Nate. And I just want to ask a question to those that are listening out there. Are there still some good men left? Are there still men who have backbones? Are there still men out there who command and lead their household with a firm, compassionate hand and make sure that their children are in bed at night and they know where their kids are at? Are there still men who lead their family in worship? Are there still men who are honest with God and honest with man? I hope there are tonight. I hope you listen to the program, and I hope we can be a help to you tonight. I know we've been cutting up having fun tonight, but there's a serious topic here, and that is this coming one world order, new world order, and the Antichrist, which will be revealed on this earth, and how the world is being prepared and groomed each and every day that we live now for that time, for the mark of the beast. And Pastor Cooley, I'm going to tell you, I run into a lot of people, I know you do too, they're scared because they're seeing things come to pass before their eyes that they thought they would not live to see because, again, and I'm not going to get into eschatology tonight and whether you're pre or mid or post or that's not what I'm trying to say tonight, but I tell people all the time, the day before the rapture will not be very different from the day after the rapture. This world is going to be ready. This world is going to be very ready for what's to come. So it's not as if dramatic changes will take place in a matter of days. These things will already be in place. They'll be ready. These systems are already ready. The Freemasons, brother, their network has stood in place now and has great reaching tentacles into every community. You know, we've been talking about technology, but don't forget about the good old boy network, which has been in place and keeps up with a whole lot of information.
Sure does, brother. Sure does, and I've talked about, and I want to preach on that sometime. Really, Freemasonry, and try to blast all those sermons down south because it seems like the South is full of Freemasons, and the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yeah.
They're just full of Freemasons, and that's not by accident. Southern Baptist Convention is what, like the second largest besides Roman Catholicism or whatever organization. So to Rome is obviously a cult. And now the Southern Baptist Convention is completely inundated with and full of Freemasonry. And Freemasonry is nothing more than occultic, esoteric, false religion. It's Antichrist. Freemasonry is Antichrist. And we don't have time to talk about Freemasonry tonight, but you're absolutely right. That is another way that things will be used. It's an infrastructure that will be used and by the way, so is Islam.
Right.
Islam, make no mistake about it. Islam is witchcraft. Islam is there's only two religions in the world. There's biblical Christianity, and there's witchcraft.
Yep.
That's it. There's no difference. There's only two. There's not three or four. There's one way. Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
One way. Everything else is another way. Everything else is rebellion, which is witchcraft.
Right. It's accursed.
That's right, absolutely. So we need to understand that. Now, moving along to technology here, how about RFID chips? They started out in animals, they say anyway. They were probably using them on humans anyway. If you believe like I do, by the time we see things, Brother Nate, that drone that goes over and steals information, they've had those out probably for, I would say, probably, I'm going to guess and say 20, 30 years they've probably had them out. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, everything that comes out of the public, you got to be developing it for a while before you release it to the public, so.
Right. So, I mean, they've got to be working. Like, the Internet was out. I don't know, how long was the Internet out before it was actually released to the public?
Different theories about that.
Yeah, there are widespread theories.
Al Gore invented it. I don't know.
Al Gore invented it, and George Bush uses the Google. I used the Google.
Uses the internets.
In the internets and the Google. And there's nothing. Go ahead, brother.
When he's checking up on nuclear war.
Nuclear.
Yeah. Working hard to put food on your family.
hey, listen, all right? You can go watch the Bushisms if you want to, okay? The greatest Bushisms on YouTube. You look that up, and you will laugh your head off if you watch.
Oh, absolutely hilarious.
The 20 favorite Bushes. I do it once in a while because I just cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. It goes to show you that it has to be a bloodline election because there is no other one. It just cannot be.
Well, he's openly skull and bones.
He
to it.
Yeah, right. He did. But hey, that's – and when you ask about that, well, what does that mean? And I can't tell you. It's a secret. And John Kerry said it too at the same time. I can't tell you. It's a secret. So you got Frankenstein.
Yeah, you know what
Bush.
Happened to the kid that asked him?
What happened?
Remember he, John Kerry was speaking, the kid asked him, he's like, were you a member of Skull and Bone Society? And then he got tased.
Was that Don't Tase Me, Bro?
Don't Tase Me, Bro. Yeah.
That was because he asked about Skull and Bones.
You don't ask about Skull and Bones, do you? I'd ask him right to his stinking face. I'd do it right to his face and ask him.
That's the number one rule about Skull and Bones. You don't talk about Skull and Bones. That's it.
I walk right up to all of them and say it to their face. So when they tase me, I'll get that new tase-free outfit
clothing
that they have. Anyway, we're getting goofy. But anyway. Okay, so this RFID chip, right? This is going in. What are they using these for? Well, how about they say they're using it. Well, these are the great thing. Next, they want to put those in children so they can track them. You know, we could, you know, how about inventory control and equipment tracking and out-of-bed detection and fall detection and personal tracking, ensuring that patients receive the correct medications and medical devices. So they want to use it when you go to the hospital. Well, stick this chip in you, and you need this. Go ahead.
They put them in the heels of shoes so they're able to track you where you walk. They put them in your tires. So they're able to read on the road and see where you're at.
Right. It's about control. Now, the practical appeal of an RFID implant, in theory, is quick authentication that's faster, cheaper, and more reliable than other biometrics like thumbprints or facial scans. That's what they're saying.
Right. And it's just a little piece of foil.
Yeah, no big deal, right? When the chip is hit with a radio frequency signal, it emits a unique identifier. Listen to this. A unique identifier number that functions like a long, unguessable password. Now, this article is an article that I read about a guy that is implanting people with RFID chips, and these people are so excited because it's happening. They're like really they're jacked up because they're getting injected with an RFID.
remember what God got mad at David for? When Satan provoked him to number the people?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
That's right, brother.
Sure did. God's not in favor of that kind of thing.
No, not at all. Andrew says he initially, this is the guy that's doing, he initially hoped to use his RFID implant instead of his HID identity card his office uses for entry, but wasn't deterred from the injection when Grafostra told him that the HID uses a proprietary system whose chips couldn't be implanted at that time. I don't have anything specific in mind now, but I didn't know when I'd had another opportunity to do it, says Andrew. And it's a good excuse to start learning more about RFID. So just go ahead. You see, it's going to be a cool thing. Let me tell you something. Brother Nate touched on this earlier. You got people out there that are preaching because they want people to get saved, and I understand what they want, okay? But you cannot misinterpret Scripture. What they're preaching out there is that, you're going to be forced to take. I mean, they're going to stick a gun to your little kid's head. They're going to say, you take this marker. I'm going to kill your kid. No, they're not. No, they're not. Why aren't they going to do that? Because Satan wants your worship. It's those that already worship him that take it. It's cool. It's the next cool thing. Look, these Google glasses are really cool, right? Well, now I can have this stuff implanted into my body. So now I can just take my hand, and I could stick it over a computer and access anything I want. I'm automatically intelligent. I have everything.
They were talking about this stuff 20 years ago. They were talking about the clothing, and then they, you know, even back then they were saying ultimately we'll be looking at implantable. And
yeah,
you know, they were 20 years ago.
Listen to this. Another young hacker who underwent the procedure said he hopes to install an RFID access RFID access chip, access system at the door of his local hackerspace. A young woman with a small collection of rings and studs in her ears compared her new implant to aesthetic body modifications like piercings and tattoos.
Oh, it's super cool and trendy.
Yeah, super cool. Look, check this out. Nate sent me an article about a Motorola tattoo, that electronic tattoo, right? Right, Brother Nate? Is that what that
right.
is?
Right.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it can read your thoughts by listening to unvocalized words in your throat. However that means.
That's not at all scary, is it? That's not at all spooky, right?
So this beast system will be able to read your mind.
I believe that because they're given access to it.
Right.
They're giving access to it. This is where we're moving along here from. We're moving from having smartphones.
I have another thought, too.
Go ahead, brother.
Well, I just thought about this, how another way that we're being prepared is the whole vaccine thing, because these RFID chips are implanted with a needle because they're the size of a grain of rice. And, I mean, vaccines are pushed. I mean, they've been increased in the weight and the amount of times that they push it to you. Everywhere you go, every Rite Aid you see, they're pushing a flu vaccine or something. By the time kids are 18, they have to take like a crazy like 40-plus vaccines, you know, by the time they're 18 years old. So, you know, getting people used to having these needles inject them with foreign materials. So.
Unbelievable. You know, it's interesting what they're conditioning children for. Don't you see it? I never even thought about this before, Brother Nate. I never thought about it. Brother Brandon, how about when they go to the airport and all these scanners and all these things that are going on and all this touching and feeling and scanning and electronic stuff that they want to do and all these other things? What is that? That's all preparing you to be completely 100% monitored and analyzed it wherever you go.
That's for the day when the truck pulls up and they tell you to get in the back and they take you down to the train station, put you in the boxcar. That's preparing that herd. You're going through the scanner. You're going through the gate mentality. You know,
and let me just say this. In the words of Brother Marty Tate, who's a pastor, I ain't getting on the bus.
Nope. I ain't either.
End quote, Brother Nate. End quote. I ain't getting on the bus.
Right.
Nope. I'd be an unruly passenger.
That's right. I have the correct interpretation of Romans chapter 13, and it ain't to get on a suicided bus. Okay,
nope.
That ain't happening. just being clear, that's all. Just being clear. All right. Do you think I speak too frank sometimes, brother Brandon, or do you think that it's just because we live in such an effeminate society that when someone comes straight forward with something now and a man stands up and stands by his convictions, that when he says something with authority, that it seems to be that it's so completely foreign to people's ears that they can't handle it?
That's exactly what it is, brother. That's exactly what it is. I mean, we've had political correctness now for how many years being impressed upon us as a society? You know, I mean, you know, I researched political correctness. It goes back to a think tank in Frankfurt, Germany, when they were trying to get people to accept communism. And, you know, that's where the idea of political correctness comes from. And, you know, that was way back in the 20s or 30s. But you know, American society, you know, we've become emasculated. I mean, it's been stripped away from men by society, by Madison Avenue, by culture, by music, by actors, image of a man. You know, I remember the day they even took the beard off the brawny paper towels guy and made him look.
Whoa!
You know. I mean, they're offended by masculinity.
I like those beard pictures in the bearded. I don't know if Brother Nate's in the Bearded Baptist Fellowship on Facebook.
Well, he needs to be.
Yeah. Are you in that, Brother Nate?
I don't know, but I need to be.
Oh, bless you need God,
he's got follicles in his face. He leaves to set him free. Amen.
That's right. He's got a beard. Brother Nate, let me say something to you. I'm not only the founder of the Bearded Baptist Fellowship, I'm also a member.
Well, I'm an honorary spokesman.
Amen. All right, let's get back to this RFID here, okay? Now, this Grafostra guy here, he had his first chip installed. Listen to this. Does that not sound odd to you? This man is talking about having chips, microchips, or RFID chips installed in his body. Is that not odd to you? That just sounds so strange to me.
Brother, are you familiar with the television show MythBusters?
Yeah, I have heard of that.
Okay. It's Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman. They're the two men who work behind the scenes in Hollywood. And there's also a young woman on there by the name of Carrie Byron. And she and two other men do experiments and things. And there was an episode, it's fast. A lot of times it's fascinating stuff. It's not vulgar, and my kids enjoy it, and I enjoy it. But on this one particular episode, it was something to do with those implantable microchips, and I remember watching, and that woman Carrie, she just volunteered and said, "Oh yeah, I'll do it," and
wow.
Got her implantable. She got it in her, I want to say in her bicep. But got it nevertheless.
Wow. Well, listen, this man says here that he says he had his first chip installed in 2005 by a doctor client of his at an IT service firm and has since become one of the few vocal RFID body implant evangelists. Chronicling his experiences with the chip on his website in the book RFID Toys. The enthusiasm of hackers like those of Torcamp. Anyway, he goes on, he's explaining this. He said if someone manages to read this, it's just as if they found a piece of paper. So if they get into this, he goes, no, they're not going to get that much information. They can't get that much. They're lying.
Right.
They're lying.
I got a question. What happens if you got one of those implants and somebody tases you?
I don't know.
Is it going to fry your implant?
I don't know that.
That's food for thought.
You could ask Steven Anderson. He was tased.
Yeah, that's true. But if you have is he chipped?
Some may wonder. I have my own theories. I'll move on. If someone manages to read this, it's just as if they found a piece of paper with a number on the ground. He says, for any other attack, they would have to also know me and where I live and want to gain access to the things I've enabled. Now, see, here's a doofus, that's a nice way to put it, that doesn't understand
Amen.
The people that want all his information is the government. The people that want to control you and use that RFID chip are not, the real criminals are elected, okay? The real criminals work for organizations that are spying on you. And why can't we just say the truth? These people are spying on us.
Mm-hmm.
They are a bunch of perverts. Plain and simple, they're a bunch of perverts. Who's got all the time in the world to sit around and monitor their own people like they're Adolf Hitler?
Oh, by the way, Hitler, did you see in the news? I saw somebody had posted where they have found out that Hitler supposedly lived out the remainder of his life. Was that a hoax?
No,
did
I believe
that.
No, the FBI released an official document from the FBI that he went to Argentina.
Do you mean that the FBI would have lied for 50 years or 100 years? They would have lied about that all this time since the World Wars there? That they would have told us something that wasn't true and they knowingly knew that Hitler was alive and he lived out his life there?
Absolutely not. The government never lies.
I can't imagine that. I could not imagine that they would have lied.
Yeah, wait till they come out with JFK files.
Wow. Yeah,
I would like
the statute of limitations is going
to
run out eventually, won't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the, what do they call it?
What I want to know is, okay, do you find this odd? Who is the one sealing those things up in the first place? If we have a new regime that comes in every 4 to 8 years, then who's the one that has the authority, and why can't the new regime say, okay, we're opening it? I don't get that. How does that work?
Well, I think the theory is that, you know, how long is it that they seal those, Nate? Is it 30 years, 35 years?
No, I'm not sure of the exact time.
I want to say it's 30, 35 years. I guess the theory is, you know, 30, 35 years, most people involved will be extremely old or they'll be already gone.
Well, they.
Right.
I think it's sealed. I think his was sealed up for like 50 years or more or 60. It's a long time. They make sure generations pass. So that what they do basically
right.
is make sure you don't care anymore. Because all
right.
the people that care are dead now. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Right, the generation now doesn't care why it happened.
Right, nobody. By the time that they release what happened with Kennedy and those, they're not gonna. Nobody's gonna care anymore. That generation, those generations, be dead, and they're not gonna.
Hollywood will make a movie.
Right.
Hollywood will make a movie, and everybody get excited about that, and then it'll be over.
See, we don't understand that all, and I know we've been going off in a lot of different directions tonight and everything else, but bear with us a little bit in our folly here, because all of these things are really connected when you look at them, because when you understand what's going on with government and how they're hiding things, Adolf Hitler thrown in here, wait a minute, this guy was alive, everybody said he was dead, they told us he didn't live out his life, why did they protect him? Why did they keep him alive? Well, I could tell you why they kept him alive. They kept him alive because he had a lot of information. That's why.
Sure.
Some men are worth more alive than they are dead.
You know, I've often thought that, you know, trying to figure all this stuff out, I mean, it's like somebody took a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, flew up over a football field, and threw it out the window of a helicopter. You know, and we're just walking around.
Wow.
Yeah, we're just walking around picking up these pieces and walking around this giant space trying to put all these pieces together. But we know they all
fit.
We know they all fit. It's just we're trying to figure this all out. And, you know, the problem is the people that are in control of it, they know what the picture looks like already.
That's right.
It's classic. It's like the old movie where the, you know, you got to figure out whether to cut the red wire or the white wire. You got to figure this thing out to keep your family safe. That's the sense of urgency that people feel today. We got, you know, what's going on? You know, everybody knows it. Even lost people know it. They feel there's something is about to happen, but they don't know what. They can't put their finger on it. And folks, that's what we're talking about tonight. And we're looking at things that are lining up with what the scriptures say and trying to put this in proper context and try not to, you know, go on a suicide binge at the process, because it is very, very depressing to look at if it were not for the fact that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he's coming back for his own. And praise God for that. If it weren't for that, there'd be no hope for any of us.
Amen. That's right. Absolutely. And listen, this is not our home. We're just passing through. Amen.
Amen.
This is our kingdom is Christ's kingdom is not of this world. But by the way, Kennedy's records are sealed until 2017.
Wow.
Also not that far away.
In 1964, the Warren Commission submitted the unpublished portion of the assassination records to the National Archives, where it was sealed and locked away until 2039. This was to serve and protect as innocent persons who might be damaged because of their relationship. Well, in other words, basically what they're saying to you is, no, we're doing it so we can cover it up so you really don't know what happens because we're crooked as a dog's hind leg. That's what they're saying. So you don't understand that. Wow, this is really interesting. They locked up a record. Listen to this. Identical twin study that was done in the 1960s. By renowned psychologist Viola Bernard and her colleague Dr. Peter Neubauer. That's really strange. They locked that up until 2066, the government did. By the way, the France's secret UFO files are locked up. They were opened in 2007, it says here. Well, anyway, that's weird. So, anyway, so they do lock up files. They do that. Brother Lonnie sent that to us. It's fascinating sealed and secret documents, and it lists which ones were sealed or whatever. Doesn't list the purpose. They just say they do it at their discretion. They do what they want. We all know that. We've known that for a really long time. Anyway, so moving along here, but this RFID chip, I believe, honestly, that this is one of the biggest shadows. One of the biggest shadows of what's to come.
Well, you know, brother, I don't think the mark of the beast is going to be an all-encompassing tracking device. There's no doubt there will probably be other tracking devices as well. But certainly, you know, it's going to control your shopping, your ability to be a consumer. You know, but I can't get around the fact that it's going to be a mark of worship. It's going to be an allegiance tag, if you will.
Well, now, what's fascinating to me is if you go back, and I think I'm going to do a little word search here. I think it's Deuteronomy, but maybe it wasn't. Let me go back a little bit further than that. Let me go to Exodus. I think maybe it's Exodus. Let's see here. Yeah, the Lord said, "You shall not mark any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Now, I find that fascinating just in this in itself, that God was telling us not to do some things, you know, not to print any things or anything like that. But God talked about those that had a mark on them, that he put a mark on them. If you remember that in Scripture, God talked about that. He talked about how he would put a mark on them, and let's see. He talked
put their
about,
seal their...
Go ahead, brother.
No, the Bible says he'll put his seal in their forehead.
Yeah, amen. He did say that, didn't he?
He did. But, you know, of course, that's why, and I believe that's why the mark will, that's why the beast uses the mark, because he's mimicking God. Everything that God does, Satan wants to try to do because he wants to be God. He wants to be like God.
Yeah, he does want to be God. He has a God complex, that's for sure. And he actually thinks that he's going to, he's going to be, he really thinks that he's going to make a go of it, isn't he? He's going to make a run for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And the whole world's going to wonder after him.
Yeah, here's what I thought was interesting, what the Bible says. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You know, this is God's word. This is God's law. He said that that they should write him as a frontlet between thine eyes, you know. And I thought that was interesting. And in their hand. And for a sign upon thine hand, it says. And, you know, Satan obviously wants to pervert that. Hello?
Yes, sir. Still here.
All right. I thought we cut out there for a second. I couldn't hear anything. Everything... no, I didn't see any bright lights or anything. Everything just went dead for a second. So I don't know what happened. Anyway, I guess we've got a break coming up here. Saints and Pilgrims Way by the Marksman Quartet. We'll be right back in a few minutes here on the Old Paths Broadcast.
Took the same.
All right, we are back. Go ahead, brother.
That's a marksman. That's a marksman quartet on the Old Paths broadcast. And I just found out they're going to be at the Greenville Auditorium in Greenville, Texas. That's right outside of Dallas, Texas. If you happen to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area listening to the program tonight, and you have a chance to go up the road, up I-30 to Greenville, Texas, Monday night, 24th, at Greenville Auditorium, the Marksman Quartet, here on the Old Paths broadcast regularly, and you would not be disappointed in the show. A tremendous group of godly Christian men, and they'll give the gospel there while they're playing, and they're blessed. So I just want to give them a plug tonight, and hope the Lord bless them wherever they're at. Back to what we're talking about, brother.
Amen. All right. And Brother Nate's back on, too. He got booted off for a little while, and we got him back on, too. So, all right. But anyway, so we're looking at all these RFID chips and this interfacing with computers is the name of the game. Mobile devices, internet devices are being used to prep for the Mark of the Beast as well. You know, we first had computers that would allow us to go online and, you know, have access to billions, and now we have smartphones we carry around our pocket and have instant access. These smartphones now, brother, they have more power than computers did.
Oh, yeah. An iPhone today has more power, has more technological capability than the space missions of the, when we went to the moon.
Unbelievable.
I mean, right there in your iPhone, there's more technology than that entire space mission.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible when you think about it.
Yeah. When I think about it, I question some things.
Yeah, I know.
We were running around with 8-track tape players and stuff, and yeah, it makes you question things.
I know it, brother. I know what you're thinking right now. I'm not trying to read your mind, but I understand what you're saying about that, because boy, that technology seems awful funny when you start to look at the years of when this technology took over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see the advancement that it made in everything, I mean, man, it's really strange, really strange. But anyway, we understand the government was involved with a lot of those things, and then the occult was involved with the government during a lot of those things. But that's another day, another story for another day. But anyway, as we look at these computers and everything like that, think about this. Do some comparisons about what they really want to do. What's their goal? What's their end game goal? Well, the end game goal that I have found from an article that I found that furthers this Antichrist agenda and this agenda for the Mark of the Beast was an article that I found on Mail Online, and it was and Ray Kurzweil, the director of engineering at Google, believes he will be able to upload our entire brains to computers within the next 32 years. An event known as Singularity, he calls it. Our fragile human... Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just going to say, you know, there's a new show on television I've seen advertised, and, you know, it's... So if either one of y'all know what I'm talking about, help me out here. There's a black man who's the host of it, and they talk about from the Big Bang Theory to the theory of evolution. It's real popular right now on television.
I don't know.
But anyway, where was I going with it? Totally lost my train of thought. What was the last thing you said?
We were talking about how they want to upload your brain to the internet.
Oh yeah. They on that show they had it pictured that someday you'll be able to walk out to the cemetery, and there'll be a screen attached to the headstone. And you'll literally be able to carry on a conversation with your dead loved one because they had their brain uploaded while they were still alive. And they're able to put forth an image that looks like your loved one and you can talk to them.
Yeah. You know, there's another interesting thing that was really, it's scary. I just seen a clip of it, but they had this hologram at this anniversary of rapper Tupac Shakur's death. And they had this hologram on stage, and he was rapping with them. And I'm telling you, it was him. That was how spooky it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was weird.
Did you see that too, Brother Nate?
Yeah, I did. It was really creepy.
It is creepy. It's very creepy. Well, Ray Kurzweil here is the director of engineering at Google. Now, Google's a very powerful company. We don't even realize the magnitude. We don't even know what Google's into. Let me just say that. It would be more important to figure out what they're not in. It'd be easier to figure out what they're not into than what they're into, because they're into everything, okay? So anyway, so basically, what he's saying is our fragile human body parts will be replaced by machines. Listen to what he says. In just over 30 years, humans will be able to upload their entire minds to computers and become digitally immortal. You hear what he's saying?
Gods.
Yeah, ye shall be as gods. What did Adam promise Eve? What did Satan, Lucifer, promise Eve in the garden? The serpent promised Eve, you'll be as gods. I mean, you'll live forever. You'll be like God.
I think that that's going to be tied in with the mark of the beast. I think when they choose to accept it, it's going to be combined with all this advanced technology and artificial intelligence and all this type of stuff to bring. Because that guy Ray Kurzweil, if you study him, he's like one of the forefront of the transhumanism movement to change human beings into what they call transhuman or post-human. So you're not even human anymore. You're basically gods. And so you're using technology to push humanity to the next level of evolution where we become gods. And I think that the Mark of the Beast probably will be tied in with that.
Hey, guys, I've moved to the pickup truck and I'm traveling down the road, so if there's road noise, I apologize. But
now if that cop gets you for juking and jiving, we'll just let you go.
I'm gonna try not to juke and drive, but thankfully I don't have my Herbalife out here. But anyway, you know, this whole mark business. You know, we also know that people are going to be beheaded that don't take the mark of the beast. And let's not forget what that's all about. You're talking about these, what you call it, trans what?
Transhumanism.
Transhumanism.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I've heard it said that the reason for the guillotine, of course, is because it's about the harvesting of organs. Because any
right.
other method of execution is going to damage the body. And
right, that's true.
The beheading, they can freeze the bodies, or I mean not freeze, but they can certainly put them on ice, transport, do immediate surgery, remove, harvest the organs. And they're going to be, it's going to be a big organ industry.
That's
a good point.
Listen to this. The conference was created by Russian multimillionaire Dmitry Itsko and featured visionary talks about how the world will look by 2045. Kurzweil said, based on conservative estimates of the amount of computation you need to functionally stimulate a human brain, we'll be able to expand the scope of our intelligence a billionfold. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods.
Yeah, that's right.
In Kurzweil's book, The Singularity, he plots this development and journey towards singularity and graph. The singularity is also referred to as digital immortality because brains and a person's intelligence will be digitally stored forever, even after they die. He also added that this will be possible through neural engineering and referenced the recent strides made towards modeling the brain in technologies which can replace biological functions. Yikes.
No, there's another agenda going on here, too. It's what I think video games, obviously where they're headed, it's been where they're preparing people, is the ultimate goal of video games is to be completely immersed in virtual reality, where you're sitting there in the chair and you put on your headset or whatever, your Google Glass or whatever advanced thing they come up with, and you literally live in the Matrix in a world where any you can be anything, you can do anything you want, but you're plugged into this machine.
Do you remember the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Total Recall? Wasn't that the idea of behind that movie?
Yeah, that was definitely a big concept in that movie.
Right, wow. And several shows ago, I talked about my experience in the past when before God totally brought me to myself, when I was running from God and I was playing rock music and I was fooling with with hallucinogenic drugs and things. There's some creepy things that I dealt with during that time. Never mind.
Let's get back.
Yeah, absolutely. There were some times where I thought that, that alien forces were controlling my mind. I mean, I'm telling you,
they were.
Well, sure.
They weren't aliens.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
It was oppression, absolutely. I was definitely being oppressed by demonic forces around me. I was running with people who were into those type of things, and so let's not miss Big Pharma. And the effects
it's all working together.
Exactly. That's what I want to bring in.
Yep.
These psychotropic drugs are opening those gateways for demonic control and, the mindless masses who rely on Big Brother for everything.
Trust me, brother. That's a big part of my testimony. I haven't given you guys my full testimony yet, but a big part of that was my use of hallucinogenic mushrooms, and it's opening the gateway to demonic forces big time.
Oh, yes. Well, mine was LSD, so I know exactly where you're coming from, brother.
Mm.
Absolutely.
It's very dangerous.
Okay,
let's
keep moving here. These are digital versions of humans that can live forever and can create mind files. That are a place to store aspects of our personalities. She said it would run on a kind of software for consciousness. The first company that develops mindware will have as much success as 1,000 Googles.
Now, I remember reading about that, and they were talking about, like, your great-great-great-grandchildren could, like, pop in a file on the computer and, like, hey, let's talk to Grandpa for a little bit, and your personality will pop in the computer and you'll start talking.
That's crazy.
Hmm. This concept that Kurwell also discussed was the basis of this book, Fantastic Voyage. In this book, he discusses immortality and how he believes the human body will develop. He said, look at evolutionary, listen, arise, the beast must arise. He is talking about the ascension of man. That's their religion. He said, we're going to become increasingly non-biological to the point where the non-biological part dominates and the biological part is not important anymore.
That's right. I believe Ray Kurzweil said, I believe he's quoted as saying, I was born a human, I'll die a cyborg.
Man.
You know, brother, the more we talk about this kind of stuff, I know the Bible's true, and I know all these things are going to come to pass. But you got to understand, I live down here in the corner of the county, and we barely got a cell phone signal, and I'm wondering, how are they going to do all this stuff down here?
They're going to come kidnap you.
They're going to come hurt me and round me up where they got a signal, I guess.
They'll do it. Listen, there's a push right now for two satellites to go up, and if those two satellites go up, there isn't one spot on this entire world or on this entire Earth that will not have Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Not one spot. They said they can cover the entire world, the entire entire Earth, with two satellites.
Crazy.
Well, I will tell you this, that there was some time back, you remember I used to do that television show, Brother Cooley, you were on it, and the man that owned the television station, he had been in some pretty high-level meetings, and he shared with me that there is a plan to run your internet through the electric wires so that every television and every computer has high-speed internet or that there was a plan to do that as well. So I don't know if that's even still in the works or not. But You know, they want to make sure that every man, woman, boy, and girl is able to be connected and hear from the beast whenever he speaks.
Absolutely. That's the goal. That's the plan.
As well as be able to control every square inch.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yes. He says here, we will also have non-biological bodies we can create with nanotechnology. We can create virtual bodies in virtual reality in which the virtual reality will be as realistic as the actual reality. The virtual bodies will be as detailed and convincing as real bodies. We do need a body. Our intelligence is directed towards a body, but it doesn't have to be this frail. Biological body that is subject to all kinds of failure modes. Failure modes. Are you listening to what he's saying? He's talking about you being a beast or a machine. He's not even talking about a human.
I think he's talking about him being a machine. I don't think he has that plan for us, brother. I think that's the what you call them?
Transhumanism.
Yep.
Yeah.
Trendy, it's going to be for many people are going to want to do this when they see the power that comes with it, the strength that they have, the abilities that they have.
Right. But it would be a plan for those who have the power and the money and are able to afford to do things like that.
See, I don't think so. I think they'd make it available to anybody who wants it.
They could just plug you into the virtual reality thing and you're in a matrix where you think that you have all these abilities, but you really don't. You're just sitting in a chair.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, but he says, but I think we'll have a choice of bodies. We'll certainly be routinely changing our parent body through virtual reality, and today you can have a different body in something like Second Life, but it's just a picture on the screen. Research has shown that people actually begin to subjectively identify with their avatar. But in the future, it's not going to be a little picture in a virtual environment you're looking at. It will feel like this is your body, and you're in that environment. Your body is the virtual body, and it can be realistic as real reality. So we'll be routinely able to change our bodies very quickly as well as our environments. If we had radical life extension, only we would get profoundly bored and we would run out of things to do and new ideas. In addition to radical life extension, we're going to have the radical life expansion. We're going to have billions of virtual environments to explore that we're going to literally expand our brains. Right now, we only have 300 million patterns organized in a grand hierarchy that we create ourselves. But we could make that 300 billion or 300 trillion. Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah,
there's so many movies out though that push the agenda of fusing man and machine together, or man and animal together, and all these types of things. You know.
Yeah, you know RoboCop's back.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard about that, the new RoboCop movie, and it's even more dark and sadistic than the first one. From what I understand, anyway.
Yeah, you can't reason with a RoboCop.
No. Well, you can't reason with most cops, but
there you go.
But you know, these are the times we're living in right now. These right now are some of the preparations that are being made for us to receive, not for us, but for those that are lost to receive the mark. You know, to
right.
Receive it, to get ready for it, to get prepared for it, to be acceptant of this. Kind of strange life, this strange interfacing with computers and everything else. And boy, this will take you to, you know, I mean, yeah, you can work fast on the computer and you can do all these other things, but you know, the next thing that you want to do, if you really want to connect, if you really want to do that, then you need to go ahead and upload your brain to the internet and take this mark, and you'll be able to scan it, and boom, you'll be there. You'll be like a computer. You'll be a walking Google.
Well,
Well, brother, I can tell you this. I don't think they want my brain uploaded. I think it'd scare anybody to upload my brain. And there'd be a whole lot of room left over.
You know, here's the thing, brother. Here's the thing. When you look at what's going on today, they want to upload your brain, not so they the purpose of your brain being there, but for the purpose of what they can do to your brain while it's there.
Right.
It's control.
You talking about identity theft? I mean, they could seriously do some identity theft working with that stuff.
I know, like you said, that reminds me of that Total Recall movie that I watched a long time ago, back when I used to watch movies and stuff. I mean, it's been 15 years since I've seen that probably, but that movie, what did they talk about? They talked about he didn't even know where he was at. All of a sudden he was in somebody else's body.
Right. Yeah, that was the part of the movie that shook me up so bad. That made me start questioning things. And, you know, at the time I wasn't in a state of mind to be able to decipher what was truth and what was not truth. And, you know, just the idea that something else could control you. And, I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, having things implanted into our bodies. And, I mean, you know, Bill and what's his wife's name? I can't even remember her name. But they've invested so much money into this nanotechnology where you got these tiny robots moving in your bodies. I mean, doesn't that seem kind of creepy to anybody else that these things could be programmed to destroy you at a moment's notice?
Yeah, but that's how you keep control. You know, that's how control is kept. Because when everything around you can work like that, then, you know, you're going to be a prisoner in your own home. So what? Yeah, I have freedom. I have my own home. I have this. No, you don't, because you're being controlled and watched the whole time.
Yeah, somebody else has got the kill switch.
Right. All they have to do is hit it.
Mm-hmm.
All they have to do is hit it. That's all they have to do. You know, so I mean, you say, man, these things just sound so spooky. Listen, I haven't presented anything to you that you can't look up yourself and see.
That's 100% true.
Everything that we have, you can go find yourself. It's all right there. It's not hidden. It's right there for you to see.
Yeah, we may sound crazy, but we're not.
All right, Brother Brandon, you take us out, brother. We're done for today.
All right, brother. Well, let's let God be true, but every man a liar. Brother Jason Cooley, I'm Brother Brandon Teague. You stay close to the Lord, stay in His walk in His Word. We'll see you next week here on the Old Paths Broadcast.